So, Josh.
So, Alex, how can I help you today?
How much did you spend on the hat? How much?
Hang on.
Did you spend on that hat?
All right. So, for reference, everyone, I got this fancy, fancy noodle hat. I put some macaroni in it and everything. Or they put some macaroni in it for me. It was pre-macaronied.
Yeah, there you go. Wow.
Fancy?
You look like a pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean.
More like a swashbuckler. I specifically didn't go with the triad pirate hat. I could have.
Okay.
I might yet.
Yeah, it's like...
But anyway. Yeah, so this hat. Mm-hmm. Alex first guessed $30, to which I guffawed. And then Alex took it up another $10 to $40, and then another $10 to $50. And I'm like, keep going.
And I'm like, no.
Oh, God. I've made a poor decision. Keep going.
How much?
Do you care to make any more guesses? Or do you just want to know?
Please tell me it wasn't $70. Was it 70? Was it 75? What?
You're going to hate me so much. You're going to say, oh, my God. I could have fed so many children. I could have retired.
Yeah.
I paid $500 for that hat.
Joshua. Joshua. You're lying right now. Please be lying. I'm going to cry.
I'm not.
I thought you were poor.
Oh, I mean... Kind of.
Now I know why you're poor.
Right? No. I mean, I'm relatively poor. Just because I'm poor doesn't mean I can't splurge every now and again.
Mm-hmm. $500?
I can't afford a house with a garage and a new car poor. I'm not can't enjoy himself at the Ren Fair once a year poor.
Okay.
I mean.
There's levels here, I see.
Yes, there are. There are levels. I grew up poor.
Is it just because it was like real leather, or is it because it was handmade by like blind nuns? Like, what the fuck?
But maybe not blind nuns, but real leather and handmade. I think the artwork of the dragon had a lot to do with it. Like, that's etched and airbrushed by hand.
Oh.
And I have no idea what kinds of feathers those are, but they're very soft. They get my roommate's cats very excited. That scares the crap out of me. I'm like, no!
Okay.
Not a $500 cat toy. No.
No. What, are you going to wear this hat? Are you just going to hang it somewhere?
I feel...
Displayed on a museum?
I did go back the next day and I wore the hat for a day at the Ren Fair.
Okay.
Because when you make a big ticket purchase, they give you 2 free tickets to the Ren Fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
they're like, this guy spends his money like a stupid idiot. Come on back for free. and I was like, why don't I?
Yeah, I see the logic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now I feel obligated to wear it to funerals, weddings, church. I don't go to church, but now I need to start going just to make this purchase worthwhile.
Yeah, just... I think so.
Dance clubs.
Wow.
Like, actually, I will. We do go to a dance club semi-regularly that is essentially a big fancy dress party. So I will be wearing it to that at least twice. It's going to be part of my Halloween costume.
Okay, good.
I'm going to use it. I have
it
to
be.
Make it a worthwhile purchase. Plus, it's such a cool fucking hat.
It is a cool hat. I'll give you that. It's very
and
cool.
Also, if it makes you feel any better, I was pretty drunk.
That does make me feel better.
I was 6 beers deep, and I got the beer for free. I did tip like $10, but...
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everything is making a little bit more sense, but just a little bit.
Yeah.
Listen, Josh, next time you're like super drunk, about to buy a $500 hat, call me, and... Maybe you can instead help me pay off my crippling tax debt, you know?
Tax debt. Oh, I didn't know it was tax debt.
Yeah.
Well.
It is. The IRS might be coming for me.
Oh, no. Are they going to, will they come for you in Mexico? That doesn't seem likely. Also,
I don't know. I'm scared.
Also, no, the IRS is not coming for you. The IRS doesn't have the budget to come for small. You're a small fry. No offense. But I mean, did you make millions of dollars and not pay taxes on them? Because if the answer is no, I think you're fine. Did you make anywhere near the six-figure income range?
Okay. I did not. Okay.
Yeah.
No, and just for IRS, legal reasons, I am paying off of the debt little by little. I have a payment plan, good. People.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you care to divulge to the general public how much that debt is?
Oh, it was about $6,000.
Oh.
So,
well, I've got like 70 grand worth of.
I'll call Sugar Daddy Josh. You're gonna be my new sugar daddy.
I already bought you a microphone and a thing and an input box and an arm. I've still got like 60 grand of loan debt. So if that makes you feel any better.
Oh, that does make me feel better. Thank you.
So I bought a hat instead because they're never going to get any of my money. They can fuck off.
Yeah, because you know what? What if we die tomorrow?
Yeah, seriously. You know? What are they going to do with that money? Nothing.
So
they're going to sit and hoard it. I need it to eat.
And buy hats.
So...
What is my purpose?
You pass butter.
Oh my god.
Glenn's bleeding to death.
I am totally fine.
The squirrel's bleeding.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez, I'm so down with my parents' divorce dog.
What is my purpose?
God exists, it's f***ing me.
Oh my god. I call it Cheerio.
I'm sorry, I'm not a classic maternal archetype.
Welcome to Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, everyone. I'm Josh.
I'm Alex. Yay.
Yep.
And we're going to discuss season 1, episode 10 of Rick and Morty, called Close Rick Counters of the Rick Kind.
The Rickest.
Let's talk about
kind.
That title a little bit. What is the original name here of this title?
Oh, Close Encounters.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I think it's the third kind. You know, I didn't think to look that up. I'm going to do that real quick. Close Encounters. Yes, of the third kind. That's what it appears to be.
And that's a movie?
Looks like a 1977 sci-fi drama with Richard Dreyfuss. Story of Roy Neary, an everyday blue-collar worker in Indiana whose life changes after an encounter with a UFO. It's about a UFO. Yeah.
It's about a UFO.
It's a UFO!
It's a UFO!
That's all that's really important here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of like a sing-songy, I don't know, I feel like I've heard this title a lot, referenced, I guess, on other media.
I feel like that as well.
Maybe?
Yeah, I'm not super up to speed on all of my movie trivia. I'm not a huge buff on, well, anything really, which leads me into my working catchphrase for our podcast or opening line, I don't know. Bear with me, because this is Wubba Lubba Pod Pod, where we're just two casual nerds on a journey to become slightly less casual nerds by watching all that pesky TV and doing a handful of Google searches so that you don't have to. Hey!
Hey.
I don't know, I'll figure something out.
I like
Thanks.
It!
Thanks.
No, I
did something similar last week. But you know how for Beer with Buffy we've got...
The Red Run Illegal Podcast, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Retroanalytical, yes, I like
that. Yes, a retroanalytical podcast. We're trying to narrow it down into something like that. Cool. So yeah, you know, we're a rewatch podcast. You're going to get a scene-by-scene recap with some analysis, and we're going to do our best to do some character tracking, lore tracking, and talk about fan theories and the like. Everything that comes along with the epicness of Rick and Morty. Of Rick and or dun, dun, Morty. Dun, dun.
Okay, do you want to start?
Sure. Yeah, so...
Should we get into it?
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
So we're in the living room. We're in the Smith living room. Not the living room. The dining room. I fucked it up already. What are you going to do? I wanted to track because... Oh boy, do I have things to say about this scene. I'll just say what happens in the scene first. We're in the Smith's dining room. Some shit goes down. This is the... And this is the first time that I ever figured out what the hell was going on in this opening sequence, in this opening scene before the opening sequence. So Beth is like, congratulations, Dad. This is your 1 year anniversary of being home again. Because if you all recall, canonically, at the beginning of the series. He's come home after 20 years of being gone. I don't remember exactly where that's said, but it's pretty common knowledge that that's where we're at. So she's like, I'm going to make you flying saucer-shaped pancakes for your anniversary, which that's our clue that the next day after this opening scene is, in fact, the next day. But it's an alternate universe, but I digress. So
the portal opens.
Yeah, so a portal opens. A Morty and a Rick. And, Morty wearing an eye patch and a Rick with a scar over his other eye. Shoots Rick in the head. Morty shoots Morty with a tranquilizer dart and drags him back through the portal. Everybody screams, mostly Summer or Beth. I think it's Summer. And bam, opening sequence.
They're all screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody's screaming. Yeah. And opening sequence. And then we start out with the family back at the table, Rick eating pancakes with a candle in the middle of them. And he's like, oh, I get it. Pancakes are already flying saucer shaped. It's very clever. And he's like, I should be making you breakfast for putting up with me. And Jerry emphatically agrees. This time, three Ricks instead of a Rick and a Morty bust through a portal in the wall, announcing that Rick is under arrest for crimes against alternate Ricks. Under the authority of the Transdimensional Council of Ricks, they freeze Ray Jerry for being an idiot because he tries to, like, stand up for himself or something. It's like, you know what, Jerry, there's a time and a place, and I don't think this is it. He stands up and he's like, hey, what the heck? And Rick is sure that they just want to waste his time with a bunch of questions. They handcuff Morty. Rick tries to get him out of it, but they tell him that he lost his say by refusing to join the council. And he asks them to unfreeze his wife's idiot at least before they go. Jerry comes out of it yelling about his stupid coin collection that is a limited mint R2-D2 coin instead of George Washington. I mean, I want to know what kind of coins. Like, are they quarters? Are they 50 cent pieces? Are these legitimate currency, American currency, or are they just stupid collector coins? I don't know, but I want some.
Probably the latter.
I'd pay at least $500 for some. but anyway, Jerry's...
Beth is like, our son's been abducted. And he's like, you hate me for buying those coins. Like, Jerry...
Yeah, I think she hates him for a lot more reasons than buying those coins, but that's on the list, probably. Yeah. So... Yeah, so this is the first time that I ever figured out that the opening scene where Rick gets shot and Morty is kidnapped, that is evil Morty and his cybernetic Rick that are doing that. I don't know what I used to think.
Yeah.
But I was just always confused. I was like, wait, but are they just playing the same scene twice? Shows how much attention I was paying.
I think this was also my very first time connecting that was evil Rick and robot. I mean, evil Morty and robot Rick. And we actually, like, we see how robot Rick literally murders a Rick, which is what they're accusing C-137 Rick of doing.
Yeah. It's a lot of information compacted into a very, very quick series of moments. And it's a great Easter egg moment to come back to once you have questions that need to be answered. But when it's just being thrown in your face without any context, your brain doesn't really absorb information that way, you know? And so you're like, I don't know what I just saw. And then you see the story pick up where it feels like the story's just picking up where it left off, and it's repeating it so that you get to see it twice. That's what it feels like, even though that's obviously not what's happening. And the same effect, there's probably some sort of psychological term for it, I don't know, but the same effect happened with people with the transition between Back to the Future 1 and 2. Because if you watch Back to the Future 2, you start to think that you're just rewatching the end of Back to the Future 1. And in fact, I knew somebody who pirated those movies onto VHS when I was a kid. And they cut out the beginning of Back to the Future 2 because they thought it was a repeat. And I was like, no.
No, my God. No,
that's... why would... It's even a different actress playing Marty's girlfriend.
Yeah, they changed the actress.
And if you listen to the inflection of Doc Brown's voice, he clearly filmed it twice because he says a couple things almost the same, but it's different.
Same, but different.
It's specifically the line, it's stuck in my head forever, where he's in the first one, he says, it's your kids, Marty. We've got to do something about your kids. And the way he goes up on kids is... I think that was the right way to say it, and that's the first way that he said it. But then he had to refilm it, and he said, "It's your kids, Marty. We've got to do something about your kids." And he goes down on kids on the second one.
Down.
And I'm like, "That's not right. That's not how he said it before. What the fuck is going on?" Yeah, that's some fun trivia. Nice. Go back and watch that. Yeah, fun shit going on in this episode.
So then they cut to the Citadel of Riggs.
Yeah.
This is the first time that we visit the Citadel of Riggs. And as they go around and bringing in Rick and Morty to the council, Rick is explaining what the Citadel is. And he's like, basically like, "Oh, I have a lot of enemies because I'm a genius. And there's other versions of me that had the ingenious idea of banding together." And he's just criticizing them because he thinks it's stupid to band up together.
Mm-hmm. To band together, yeah. Quarter of the day here for me. Yes. He says, "Wherever you find people with heads up their asses, that someone wants a piece of your grandpa." I just like that line.
But then afterwards, you can see one of the Riggs had died by... Do you remember? There's afterwards, when they're showing all the murder Riggs, one of the Riggs that was murdered has his head up his own ass. Did you catch that?
I did catch that, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, as Rick is like explaining all of this, Morty gets distracted by the cowboy version of him, and Rick is like, "How you're easily impressed, my guy."
Mm-hmm.
and then he explains how like most timelines have a Rick and most Ricks have a Morty. And then they arrive to the Council of Ricks, which is just Ricks with like the stupidest hairdos.
Right. Yeah. And I want to note, we walked past several versions of Rick and Morty that are not quite identical to them. There was there was a Cyclops Rick and Morty. There was a Cronenberg Rick and Morty. You already mentioned Cowboy Rick and Morty. But there was also a French Rick and Morty who was drawing Rick, and he had a little pencil mustache. There was a robot Morty. There was one who looks like a fish person with an underwater helmet on.
Yeah, I saw that. Then
there's a couple Ricks that are trying to sell them insurance, and a doll that says, "Show me the Morty," which is really dumb.
And Rick is like, "Get off."
Dumb. The way that Rick is just like, "Oh."
Yeah.
We're in the Council of Ricks. Oh, wait, no. And the way he's arguing with the soldier Ricks on the way into the council, it's like, "Save your anti-Rick speech for the Council of Ricks, Terror Rick." He's like, "Hey, save your Rick rules for the Sheep Ricks, Rick Pig. Fuck me, pal. Fuck you. No. Fuck me." It was so dumb and yet clever at the same time. I liked it.
So pretty. So beautiful.
And so the panel of Ricks... these guys with the dumb haircuts, some are swoopy and swirly and others are pointy. Did this remind you of any movies that you've ever seen, these guys?
I mean, Star Wars.
Okay.
A little bit.
I don't know why, but just I didn't think of that. Like, I'm not a big Star Wars person.
What did it remind you of?
It reminded me a lot of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Okay.
When they go to the future, there's literally three dudes dressed pretty much just like those guys, except they're wearing purple instead of white. And they've got crazy fucking haircuts, but there's only three of them. It also reminded me a lot of the very first episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, where we first meet Q. He's sitting up in one of those super high chairs, all dressed up and ready to be judgy, kind of... a situation. I don't know enough about Star Wars, but I can imagine there being some high and mighty people in Star Wars that are like that.
I don't remember which movie it is, but I think it's in the prequels that they go, and there's Samuel L. Jackson,
mm-hmm.
which is Count Berber, what's his name?
Oh, his character name?
Windu, I think.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you in a million years his character name, so.
I think it's Windu or Master Windu or something like that. And he has a purple lifesaver. But I just remember, and then there's like, they're all sitting on these chairs, much like how we see the scene here in Rick and Morty.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like also Yoda, and there's like other Jedi masters, I guess.
Okay.
And that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. All right. So it's, yeah, it's a huge sci-fi staple if it's in both Star Trek and Star Wars and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Come on. So I think they're nailing it. They're already just nailing it. They bring up this big holographic montage of dead Ricks informing him that there have been 27 Ricks murdered. And Rick wants to know why they brought him in and not anybody else. Well, because he's the only one with a history of non-cooperation with the council besides the scientist formerly known as Rick, who is also dead. And they show us a picture of dead scientist formerly known as Rick. And he's wearing a maroon jacket and a ruffled tuxedo shirt. And I'm really sad that we never got to see that version of Rick.
I know. It would have been cool to see him alive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is where they tell Rick, like, of all the Ricks in the central finite curve, which is something that we talk about later in the seasons, like more detail. And we kind of like, because in here, I guess, like, I never cared to know what this was about or what the central finite curve was. But later we know that it's like a little bit more relevant.
It's going to be a very important point as we go along, definitely, both for the plot of the show and for fan theories.
And because of all the Ricks in the central finite curve, you're the malcontent, the rogue. So then Rick goes on to accuse him of becoming less Rick than him because they formed their own government.
Mm-hmm.
He's just criticizing their whole spiel. And then I like when he, like, everybody starts murmuring and he's like, yeah, murmur it up, D-bags.
D-bags, yeah. And then he tries to leave saying,
murmur it up.
I think we all know that we prefer fluffy cakes with syrup on top. And I think we all prefer to be accused of crimes when there's evidence. And then they're like, great idea. They take his portal gun and they scan it, which it shows that he's been to all of the places where the 27 Ricks were murdered. Oops.
Mm-hmm.
And they sentence him immediately to the Machine of Doom, which swaps your conscious and unconscious mind, rendering your fantasies useless and making everything you've ever known impossible to grasp. And also every 10 seconds, it stabs your balls.
Which part is worse, Josh? The ball stabbing or the other thing?
Honestly, not sure, but Ricks hurt enough. I'm not interested in waiting around to find out either. And he starts fighting his way out. He grabs another Rick's laser gun, his Morty, and his portal gun from the scanner that it's plugged into and fucks right off. He starts booby-trapping the hallway.
And this is when they start hopping between different dimensions.
Sequence.
I like this whole thing. Great. That we're going. Yeah.
So he starts booby-trapping the hallway behind him with portals that let out fire, bees, a tentacle monster.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was some pumpkins. At one point,
I thought they were basketballs,
maybe,
but like covered in some green goo. I thought it was
pumpkins and dirt. They jump from a window and they go through a portal that he shoots into a balcony, and they land on a butt in, I guess I would call this toilet land, because there's there's toilet paper on trees hanging off of branches, and there are huge plungers at the top of some of the trees. Like they're like leaves and butts everywhere. Butts for days.
Butts, farting.
Farting.
And I think like they all, like the ground is just like liquid shit.
Solid poop or liquid poop. It's poop.
Yeah.
Either way.
Liquid poop. Yeah.
I mean, they're able to run on it. Disgusting. So I imagine it's at least semi-solid.
True.
And so the soldier Ricks follow very close behind with their own portals. Rick shoots another portal through the crack in... Right into the crack of one of the butts.
Right into the crack.
Mm-hmm. And here we go into one of my favorite sequences from this series ever in Sentient Pizza Land, where a pizza slice orders one large person with extra people. They sit on normal chairs, this is important, and they use a normal phone.
Yeah.
By our definition, of course. You know, I don't want to be xenophobic here. And his friend is indecisive about the toppings. White people. No, black people. And Hispanic on half. And then Rick and Morty run through, followed by the soldiers. The pizza slices look shocked. You know, because from their perspective, a pizza just ran through their house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. True.
How would you feel if a pizza just ran through your living room all of a sudden while you were trying to order one? A pizza.
I would have questions, but I think would just try to go catch it because I bet it would smell delicious.
Right?
And it's huge.
Yeah. And a pizza with extra pizzas on it, because that's how they order it.
Yeah.
I'd like a people with extra people on it. That's how everyone orders their pizzas in the next three scenes.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a plot hole that we're going to discuss. I mean, I'm kind of discussing it now, but you'll see what I'm talking about if you don't already. Anyway, so Rick and Morty run through and they fuck off and they cut through greasy grandma land. Mm. I mean, that doesn't seem like it'd be a thing, but multiverse.
Yeah.
Here we are.
There are no limits. Yeah.
None whatsoever. And now we're in sentient phone land. A phone sits on a slice of pizza now, calling using his mini person that is a phone with a dial pad on it.
Yeah.
And he wants a large sofa chair with extra chair, please. And his friend says, "Hi, chair. No, recliner with wheelchair on half." again, you don't order a pizza and say with extra pizza on it, but whatever, I guess.
There are no rules.
No rules. So the Benny Hill team runs through again. Are you familiar with Benny Hill? It's that's not a lost reference. Okay, thank God. The phones again look shocked. The replacement for people, which in this case is phones instead of pizza. And now we're in Dodo Birdland. Rick shoots a bunch of portals, and then they jump into the last one. As the soldiers follow, they are thrown off because they could have gone into anyone. Do you know about the huge like, Easter egg in this scene?
No.
Oh.
What?
That's fun. So, a notepad, a pen, and a mug with a question mark on it. It's such a quick moment. It's so easy to miss. Those three things, a notepad, a pen, and a mug with a question mark on it, fall through the middle of, they fall out of one of the portals. It's the one in the middle. And have you ever seen the TV show Gravity Falls?
No.
Okay.
I know about it, but I haven't seen
it. Okay. I've never seen any of it either. But I remember hearing about this while I was watching another video about Rick and Morty fan theories. And this is one of them, that the universes of those of Rick and Morty and Gravity Falls are connected by a bunch of stuff. But I believe this is the first one we've encountered, because there's a scene in Gravity Falls where a character loses those exact three items into a Stargate style portal that from the scene, it looks like he's building that portal to me. It's a portal though. And it sucks. He's holding a pad and a pen and a mug, and they get sucked out of his hand and into the portal. And he's like, "Oh shit." And then those fall out of Rick's portal in this scene.
That is so cool.
It's really fun.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. And you can find that on YouTube. Definitely look it up.
That's awesome. Fun. Yay.
And also the Dodo Birds. Did you notice that the Dodo Birds have the exact same haircut as Doofus Rick?
As Doofus Rick. Are they related? Evolutionary DNA somehow?
Right? Maybe this is actually the dimension he's from? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe the illustrators or the animators only know one haircut that makes people look stupid.
Contrary to that evidence, I'm going to refer to the Council of Rakes. There is many stupid haircuts.
Okay, you're not wrong.
So,
I mean, but they're not as stupid as Dodo Birds. They're stupider than Rick.
That's
but
true.
Then again, all the Ricks are stupider than the Rickest Rick by default.
Correct.
Anyway, so now we move on to sentient chair land, where two armchairs sitting on people using a pizza phone to order a large phone with extra phones.
Yes.
Cell phone, no rotary, and pay phone on half.
And pay phone on half.
Again, Rick and Morty run through and the chairs look shocked. Rick explains to Morty that killing Ricks in general wouldn't profit him because, but someone is killing Ricks and they need to find out who it is in order to get the Council of Ricks off of their back.
Yeah, to clear their name.
Mm-hmm.
But Morty wants to go home and stockpile weapons, but Rick is like, "That's not my style." Plus, he knows that there's going to be Ricks at home waiting for him, so it's not a smart idea to do that.
Yeah, their house would be swarming with Ricks.
Yeah, the house is swarming with Ricks. They're tapping the phones.
I was going to say, they walk past a homeless chair who's drinking, And as he sees,
the homeless chair.
As he sees what, from his perspective, is two walking chairs, he gives up alcohol very quickly.
Oh my God, that's what he was doing.
He pours it out because he's freaked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're walking chairs, because chairs that sit on people world. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
So,
Do you think that the people in this world that are basically chairs, do you think they like still have the same brains as normal people? Like, are they aware that they're just like chairs? And is it like a waste of human brain?
They don't look sentient in any way. They do still look organic. I mean, I guess they would have to be for them to still be called people and to, you know, have open eyes. They looked like they were still marginally animated. So they weren't just like sculpted out of a hard material.
Yeah, they were like statues.
Yeah, they weren't statues that they sit in. Yeah, no, I think it was just inorganic.
But maybe they aren't like super sentient, you know?
Yeah, no, I got the impression that they were basically just vegetables and they have one purpose. And so what is my purpose? You're a chair. Oh my God, kind of a situation.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
But I didn't see a single chair person there that seemed upset about it.
Mm-mm.
And it wasn't like they had to whip them to keep their chairs in place. It's just how the world be. And you know how they came up with this concept. They're like, what about a world where chairs sit on people? What about a world where pizza orders people? Ha ha!
Yeah.
We're really flipping it around.
So many flips.
Mm-hmm. What was the other one? Where phones order sofas on phones that look like people and they sit on pizza.
Oh, yeah. They sit on pizza.
That one hurt my brain the most, I think. But so now they're in... Oh, yeah. So we see the house that's swarming with Ricks. The Ricks are sucking up to Beth, fucking with Jerry, prank calling him as if they were the Rick that they're looking for. And they use a rigged phone to trace the call. And they're like, the call's coming from inside the house. Oh, no. And they make him think he's going to commit suicide with Morty and then laugh at him for believing it. It's a dick move. Beth thinks it's amusing after she realizes it's a joke. But Summer is mortified because Summer is not quite as jaded as Beth yet.
Just say what's in your
squad. I guess they're having cockroaches.
Squatch my family.
You're not squatchy enough for a squatchy pretty.
Squatchy
pretty. I'm squatching in here.
And we're in an Italian phone restaurant where chairs sit on people and they eat phones. They ordered some cheese phone sticks and some phone sketti with meatballs, and it looks delicious. I really wonder if it's just like pasta that is shaped like phones and bread shaped like phones and meatballs shaped like phones, or if it's actual phones that are flavored like spaghetti and meatballs and bread and cheese. One would be really good. The other would taste like phones.
Yeah.
Chairs don't eat phones, but chairs also aren't sentient. So clearly they do in this universe. So I should just shut my fat trap, I guess.
Yeah, why are you questioning alternate dimensions?
It's very,
Josh,
very xenophobic of me. I'm sorry.
So Rick predicts how the other Ricks won't be able to resist messing with Jerry. But then once they're bored, they're gonna be onto them. So and you can see how Rick is like fidgeting with his portal gun, trying to figure out how it was like hacked or something. And this is when Morty starts to reflect on how when he first saw all the other Ricks and Mortys at the Citadel, that kind of like devalued their bond. But then he realized it just means that their relationship must be pretty special to span over all those different timelines. He's trying to put a positive spin on this. But real quick, Rick is like, yeah, it's gonna be that way. You're a camouflage. And Morty's like, wait, what is that? What do you mean by that?
Because our personalities are so different?
Yeah, because our personalities are so... No, so Rick is like... So Ricks have a very distinctive and traceable brainwave due to our genius. The best way to hide from our enemies' radar is to stand near someone with complementary brainwaves that makes ours invisible. So, and he starts drawing these wavelengths like genius waves canceled by Morty waves.
Morty waves.
He clearly was going to say stupid waves.
Something of the like.
He's
yeah.
trying to sugarcoat it. Yeah.
Which is nicer than Rick is generally expected to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think this is just strategy because he needs Morty. He's trying not to make him mad, but.
Correct.
Mm. So yeah, this is when Morty starts to kind of like, wait, what? Like, because our personalities are so different. Mm-hmm. And this is when Rick discovers that his portal gun was hacked remotely by the real killer to frame him. But he's able to trace the signal. And then enter the Citadel Ricks. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
And then what happens?
And then the other Ricks catch up with them and tell the waiter that they've tracked a dangerous killer who looks exactly like them to this location. They mark themselves with a red X on their foreheads so that he can tell them apart. And they think that they spot them trying to disguise themselves as chairs because they see from behind two people on the floor, crab walk style, wearing Morty's yellow shirt and Rick's lab coat, but they turn them around and it's not them. And then they look outside the window and they see the actual Rick and Morty taking off, stealing their spaceship that looks like a cop
police
car.
Ship, yeah.
The waiter tries to stop them as they run out the door because he's already confused them with the other Rick and Morty, and they have to turn around and go, Red X! Red X! Which I think is hilarious.
So stupid, yeah. Bro. So dumb.
And then we cut to Evil Morty's lair planet, or wherever the fuck it is. We don't really know where it is. And now, at this point, Rick's portal gun is working, right? Yeah, it definitely is. But we didn't really see them travel dimensions to get there. Well, it's obviously not in Chair World, so presumably they go through another dimensional rift to get to Evil Morty's lair planet. And so Rick conveniently mentions, as we come back from a commercial break, he says, hey, good thing that outlet had lab coats and your favorite kind of shirt in stock, right? And Morty's like, yeah, I heard you the first time. You don't have to keep saying it over and over.
He's visibly upset at this point.
Yeah, which implies that Rick has said that multiple times now. And this, okay, from a writer's standpoint, this is an obvious ploy to explain away the fact that they have their clothes again, even though they obviously left them back in Chair World their people chairs. I think this is playing into the theory and the idea that Rick knows he's on a television show, but nobody else in the show knows.
Wow.
It's definitely one of those fourth wall breaks. And why would he be saying it multiple times to Morty, to the point that Morty is annoyed by it because he's waiting for the cameras to be rolling on him again? So it's weird that he knows he's on a TV show, but he doesn't always know when he's on a TV show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, I like that.
And that was an original idea. So Rick is impressed by how much this guy doesn't want to be found, referring to whoever framed him by hacking his portal gun. And Morty's being super butthurt about learning that he's a camouflage. Rick downplays it as they approach a dome surrounded by naked Mortys being tortured. Sorry, Rick recognizes that a bunch of agonized Mortys can hide you from other Ricks, whereas one Morty is only enough to hide you from a handful of bureaucrats, which is usually enough, but not in this case.
And this is when Rick says that he fiddled with a concept like that once, and Morty's like, what? And then he's like, on paper, Morty, on paper.
Obviously, I'd never actually do
it. He claims
it.
That he...
I mean, you can get the same effects
this
with...
this barbaric overkill.
Five Mortys and a jumper cable. But again, I would never actually do it.
And Morty's like, excuse you? I wouldn't do it, Morty. God. It's just bad craftsmanship. But I'm like, but would you do it? Or he would probably do it.
If he had to, he would.
Know. I don't know.
But I do think Rick C-137 is one of the exceptions to the rule. I think he would hesitate more than most Ricks to do it. That is his main weakness. Clearly the rest of them, at least the ones that are part of the Citadel of Ricks, they don't seem to care as much about Mortys. They just see them as camouflage, definitely. That's part of being the Rickest Rick, I guess. probably.
Cut to the Smith house. Beth is again over pampering the Ricks. What does he say? She's like, there's chocolate or something like that.
Coffee time. It's coffee time.
Oh, coffee time. Thank you. It's like coffee time. And all the Ricks are like, oh, fuck yeah. And they go. And then the Mortys like go into the table where the Ricks used to be and start playing cards. It's like, I don't know. There's this weird like power dynamic. But then this is when we meet Doofus Rick, which approaches Jerry and starts kind of talking to him. And at first, Jerry is like sus of him because he's like, wait, are you being a dick to me? What's going on here? But
super sus.
Doofus Rick is like, oh no, I hope I didn't offend you. Like, I'm just like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you work in advertising? That's amazing. He's like complimenting Jerry and being like, seems to be genuinely interested in him and what he's saying. And like
genuinely impressed that he works in advertising.
Yeah, genuinely impressed. Yeah.
Which is quintessentially, I think that's a joke in and of itself, because advertising is like one of the most soul-sucking bullshit fields that you can possibly work in. And like, you have to be a soulless cunt to be a part of the advertising industry. Which makes sense because, I fucking hate advertising.
Do you know what I do for...
Oh, are you in advertising? Jeez, I take back everything I just said. I didn't mean a thing. Not a word of it.
It's marketing. I don't know if there's a difference.
Probably. Listen. Yeah, there's definitely a difference.
Sure, let's pretend.
I guarantee it.
So I don't get super offended.
So...
Hey... I gotta make the bucks.
You gotta get people to pay $500 for a hat, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
How can we make this asshole want to pay $500 for a hat? Well, we have to get him super drunk first.
Yeah, it's all a plan. It's all an elaborate plan. We are geniuses. But yes, genius. I also see the soul-sucking part of it. Anyways.
Yeah, it's okay. You've got a soul, probably. I believe you.
I think I still have some left.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
Yeah. Oh, Doofus. Okay, so I completely forgot about this, but Doofus Rick has a Morty, but it's a weird Morty. It's an Eric Stoltz mask Morty. Was he the bad guy in the mask? I haven't seen the mask in a really long time.
Oh, not the mask. Not the mask with Jim Carrey. A different movie.
Okay.
It's a different movie just called Mask from, it's from 1985. I looked it up on Wikipedia, so I've got the page right here. It's a 1985 American biographical drama film directed by Peter Bogdanovich, starring Cher, Sam Elliott, bunch of people. Okay. It's about this kid named Rocky Dennis, a boy with craniodiaphyseal dysplasia. And... is accepted without question, which means that his head is like super duper fucked up looking. It really looks just like Eric Stoltz mask Morty's face. There was a kid in reality, historically, who looked like that.
Right.
Because he had this horrible rare disease. And they made a movie out of it. And that's this movie. And so it's about this kid who's accepted without question by his freewheeling biker mother's boyfriend, his extended motorcycle family, and his maternal grandparents who share his love of baseball card collecting, but is treated with fear, pity, awkwardness, and teasing by those unaware of his humanity, humor, and intelligence. So it's apparently a very touching, heartfelt, dramatic movie. And it's a true story, mostly, probably. I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I've seen this movie, but I do remember that face. So I must have come across it at some point.
So I never actually saw the movie, but I remember Family Guy mocking the scene. If I'd gone on to read more in the Wikipedia, it talks about a scene where he meets a girl at this camp that he goes to, and it's at a blind camp. So she's blind. So, you know, it's beautiful that she falls in love with who he is because she can't see his face. And it's adorable. But they make fun of that scene in Family Guy where she's feeling his face and she's like, oh my God, I know you said you were ugly, but there are limits. Because she's feeling his face. It's, Yeah, it's
wow.
Really mean, really mean. But it's Family Guy, whatever. And so he explains that they assigned him this Morty because he never had kids of his own and wishes that if he did, that they were all as smart as Jerry. Aw.
They get and very wholesome.
Super wholesome. Yeah, I bet there's some wholesomes they'd like to fill. Huh? Huh?
Okay.
Hey-o. Because, oh my God, Jerry and this Rick are just fucking in love with each other. My God.
They do. Like, it's like love at first. Well, love at like third sight.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he had to do a double take. And then, yeah, at the third take, he was like, okay, you're the love of my life. And so the other Ricks find the two of them hanging out and immediately mock them, both of them, claiming Doofus Rick is from the timeline where everybody eats poop. Doofus Rick does actively deny that he eats poop, and we never witness him eating poop. And personally, I believe him. And he starts crying.
Yeah, me too.
And Jerry comforts him and calls him the best Rick.
Yeah.
Quote of the day here: if I've learned anything, it's before you get anywhere in life, you got to stop listening to yourself. And Doofus Rick says, wow, you really are wise. I guess that's why you work in advertising. And Jerry says, the fact that you think that makes you the best Rick. And I'm like, yep, that's a hell of a bromance plot right there.
It's, yeah, it is.
Hell of a bromance.
Bromance right there.
And we pretty much know that Jerry's gay. I mean, we haven't quite gotten there yet, but there's multiple.
Yeah.
This is probably the first time there's any evidence of it, but it pops up again in a couple episodes when we meet Mr. Poopy Butthole, and I think there's more later. But so then we cut back to evil Morty's lair.
And Morty's fighting with Rick as they're like going through, like trying to sneak in. But Morty's like loudly fighting.
He's like, I'm just a tool to you, Rick.
I'm just an object. And then Rick is like, it's your choice to take it personally, Morty. And I'm like, that's
a take. That's a hot take. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome to have your wrong opinion. That's basically what he said.
Yeah. And then Morty says, I'm more than a human shield. And that's when Rick is like, yeah, you are. You're a perfect impenetrable suit of human armor, Morty, because you're as dumb as I am smart, which is why when I say shut up, it's a really good advice. And then the aliens, monsters, catch them. And they start fighting. He's like, look what you did. Rick blames Morty.
I just want to call out, he basically just called Morty the dumbest motherfucker alive.
Oh, yeah.
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 Which, he's still not as dumb as Doofus Rick.
But he's not. Exactly. No. Like, Morty is smarter than other people.
He's smarter than all the other Mortys, that's for sure.
Yeah. He's apparently the one true Morty, so.
However the scale works, he's still dumb enough to be this Rick's camouflage. Or does any Morty have the potential to be as smart as him if they're with this Rick?
Yeah. Oh, that seems interesting.
Honestly, that could seems likely. It's the nature versus nurture argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart. Look at you.
Hey, look at me.
And then enter Mouth Scar Rick and Evil Morty with the slow clap. He's like... And then Rick immediately is like, the slow clap, really? Like, that's overplayed, bro. And Mouth Scar Rick is like, no, I actually invented that in this dimension, blah, blah, blah. They're like so smug.
And then Rick is like, oh, well, la-dee-da. Hey, that's mine. It's funny. It's a bit. It's a dumb bit, but it's funny. And then we cut to, I guess, a hallway. They're being dragged by the lobster creatures. And Rick says they need to escape. Morty's too pissed at him to listen to reason and refuses to help him. Evil Rick orders Evil Morty to take Morty away. And good Morty is like, gladly, but he has no idea what he's getting into. And he gets put into this room with dozens of huddling, frightened Mortys. And Evil Morty is like, it is pointless to try and escape. No Morty has any chance against a Rick.
Playing the part.
Oh, yeah.
And then I like how like Morty looks back at all the terrified Mortys and then somebody farts.
Yeah. And most of them look pretty normal, but there is one Morty that's just literally a hammer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Random.
And I think there's one that has little alien antenna.
Alien antenna. Yeah.
But so now we're in the main control room and Rick is strapped to this chair and he's got a couple of good zingers. And the lobster dude keeps laughing at them while evil Rick is languishing over his symphony of Mortys that are in agony. And but Rick is disappointed to learn that it's just a random noise that the lobster makes every 10 seconds. And evil Rick informs...
He's like, aw.
Yeah, aw. evil Rick informs him he's not as clever as he thinks he is. Long story short, he's going to download Rick's brain and kill him. And this causes...
Yeah.
An actual small amount of panic in our Rick, C-137.
Oh, but I like I like when he's like going through, he's like, oh, I've done this spectrum of Ricks and put like ordered them from least evil to most evil. And he's like, here's where I am. And then he goes like, skips two one over. Rick. And then the next Rick is like, look, here is where you are, Rick. And then goes back to the Rick that's between them. And he's like, this guy, super weird.
Super fucking weird.
I wonder why. And it's not Doofus Rick.
It's not.
Yeah.
No. Well, Doofus Rick would be way off to the left, I think.
Yeah, way like probably.
So, or yeah, off to the right. Fun. I don't know. It looked like it's more than a linear spectrum, but this guy had them all ranked in just a linear spectrum. I think it would be more of a more of a grid, really.
So cut to Doofus Rick and Gary making ovenless brownies with chemistry.
Yeah.
Which my question is, would you eat these brownies, Josh?
No. No, I would not. Because you know why?
Do you think they taste the same as normal brownies?
Nope. I don't think they taste anything like brownies. I looked it up. Titanium nitrate and chlorified tartrate. Chlorified tartrate, first of all, is not a real thing. And titanium nitrate is a colorless solid. Chlorified tartrate doesn't exist, but tartrate does. It is tartaric acid, which is part of tartar sauce, you know, like you dip fish in. So that part of it would be at least edible. But there's no such thing as chlorified tartrate. So if you're just mixing some tartrate with titanium nitrate, you're not going to get anything vaguely resembling brownies. But that doesn't mean that there weren't other ingredients that he didn't list before we came back to that scene. But I still don't think it's going to make anything resembling ovenless brownies.
Real brownies.
So it was bullshit. Sci-fi jargon. That's all. Sorry to ruin it. Now, if you could actually make ovenless brownies just by pouring a couple of beakers into a pan, fuck yeah, I'd be all over that. I mean, do you know how to make no-bake cookies? Basically, oatmeal, peanut butter, some vanilla. I'm just trying to put together the recipe in my head from childhood memories right now. Don't mind me.
is a way.
It's a handful of things that you mix together. You stick them on a pan and you let them dry out for a half an hour and you've got some fucking cookies and they're really good.
Cookie? Mm-hmm. Wow.
A little bit of chocolate impressive. Powder in them. They're basically peanut butter oatmeal peanut butter chocolate oatmeal cookies.
Okay.
Pretty good. Yeah, no bake cookies. Look it up.
I believe you.
Yeah. So, Doofus Rick and Jerry hug after complimenting each other just a little too much. And Jerry's got something to show Doofus Rick. Zip. Nope. Sorry. I had to go there. It's, in fact, his stupid R2-D2 coins. And Doofus Rick says, you know what? I can't promise you that these are going to hold their value or that they're going to gain any value. But they have value to you, Jerry. And that's what's important. That's Jerry tears up a little. This is a very crying a lot episode. Everybody tears up at some point.
Very
in this
emotional.
Episode. Very emotional. So Jerry tears up and he's like, how long will you be staying? Oh, just until we find your Rick. I found mine.
I found mine. And they hug.
Yeah.
Aww, good for Jerry. Them.
Bad for Beth. Actually, aww. Wait. No, good for Beth. Very. Yeah, if Jerry were to just leave Beth for Doofus Rick, everybody would be so much happier. everybody.
I think so too. Damn.
Never mind all of the judgy shit that we're heaping onto Jerry and Doofus Rick for being who they are and what they're into, but they'd both be so much happier.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But fuck that. It's more fun for us if they stay here in this toxic situation. Thank God they did.
And suffer.
Suffer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Suffer.
We need the suffering.
Entertain us.
For our entertainment. Oh, jeez. Ah, jeez, Rick.
Oh, wow.
So.
Ah, jeez. So, cut to.
Morty. And
the Morty cult.
The Morty cell. Yeah, with all the, with the Morty cult.
Culty Morty's approach. Morty with a pamphlet trying to sell him their religion or whatever. They tell him about that one true Morty that will come back and save them or whatever. Mm-hmm. Morty is like, ugh, ew, you know, like, ew, no. But he then like immediately takes charge, jumps on a platform thingy, and he starts doing a speech. He's like, we're not defined by our relationships to Rick. Our destiny is our own. Like, we gotta do our shit, blah, blah, blah. And all the other Mortys are like, yeah, like, I am more than blah, blah, blah. I want to do this. I want to do that.
I want to write crazy, intense action novels.
Yeah. And they're like, he sounds like the one true Morty. So they all band together.
I'm more than just a hammer.
I am more than just a hammer. I wonder what else he is. Right? And so they end up banding together and they escape the holding cell. One of the alien monsters is like, hey, you gotta keep quiet. And they all like swarm him. Like,
and they just start ripping those fuckers apart. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're back in the control room and I'm calling him Cyborg Rick. I know we were... everybody seems to be calling him Robot Rick, but I have evidence.
I was calling him Mouth Scar Rick, which is...
I thought he had an eye scar. Was it his mouth?
It was both. He had a little bit of an eye, but the more like scary scar was the mouth. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a robot.
I like yours better.
I don't think he's a robot. I think he's a real Rick. And I think Morty has just installed... Evil Morty has installed remote control receiver
technology
in his brain because he bleeds.
Yeah.
And I mean, even Morty, like, he tucks those wires back into his eye socket later. So, I mean, how did he install this into a Rick's brain? No fucking idea. But I think that's what happened because he's clearly bleeding when they cut the top of his head off. But we'll get there.
So wait, how do you call him?
I call him Cyborg Rick instead of Robot Rick.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah. Let's do that.
So Cyborg Rick witnesses Rick's memories as he tears up, and we see a baby Morty on screen. We also see a Morty being shocked, presumably to death.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he's definitely being shocked. And we also see a Morty in front of a big, toothy, snarling monster chasing him right behind him. And a handful of other things. But those are the most important ones that we're going to talk about later. Cyborg Rick is like, you're tearing up over a Morty? If there's any truth in the universe, it's that Ricks don't care about Mortys.
Dun, dun.
And knowing, spoiler alert, that this is not Rick... This is not the evil Rick talking. He's just a puppet. This is evil Morty talking through this Rick. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, we can tell he's got some serious abandonment issues or clearly some very strong feelings regarding Ricks in general otherwise.
Yeah, and then, this might be his motivation for whatever he's doing.
Right, definitely. And then all the other Mortys that just escaped pour in and they leap on Cyborg Rick. And he goes out in a blaze of glory shouting, do your worst, you little bastards.
Kill me. Do it.
Do it. Do it. Do it. And I wonder if that was actually the real Rick, that particular real Rick,
just like,
who just really wanted to die because he was tired of being puppeteered by a Morty.
Can
you imagine how much torture that would be?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who's controlling you, but especially if somebody's controlling you that you thought was so dumb that they're your opposite. That would be torture.
That would be torture for Rick.
And so Morty lets, Morty, or the Mortiest Morty, lets Rick out of his constraints. But he's being pretty bitter. He's like, "You're lucky I'm not a Rick." He's like, "Point taken."
Yeah.
And then Rick releases all of the Mortys.
But this is no time for arcs.
And then he gets up. And the first thing he does is he releases all of the Mortys that are on the shield on the dome. And then he calls the Smith house. I don't know if he's got a cell phone or what. It doesn't matter. When one of the Ricks answers, he's like, "Hey, what do me and OJ not have in common?" And they're like, "Who the fuck is this?" And he says, "I found the real killer, bitch." And I never got that joke until this time. I had to stop and think about it. What do he and OJ not have in common? And I had forgotten that about the OJ Simpson trial. He claimed that he wasn't the real killer and that there was another killer, but he could never produce any evidence of this other killer, and all the evidence pointed at him, but he still fucking got off somehow.
Yeah.
That was a while ago. Dan Harmon's really showing his age with that joke. Whatever.
yes.
Presumably they trace the call and portal over to him immediately. We cut over to Jerry's office real quick, where Jerry and Doofus Rick are playing with Legos, and they say a very sad goodbye as the other Ricks come in and they're like, "Hey, Ding Dong, it's time to go." And Jerry tries to plan a hit on Rick.
Yeah, he's like, I mean, I'm not saying kill him, but I'm not saying
don't kill him.
And Doofus Rick is like, "No, dude, this is how it has to be. We both know it. Blah, blah, blah. Let's just say goodbye."
He's the wise one.
Heartfelt goodbye. Yeah, he's the wise one. Still. What does that say about Jerry?
Right. And they hug, and Doofus Rick is like, "I love you, Jerry. I love you." And I'm like, "Ooh, that's quick. These two, I'm telling you, they just need to get a U-Haul and just move right in."
I know. Very lesbian of them.
It is. Yeah. Jerry has big feelings about it, which he takes out on the wall by punching it. He's so upset. Oh, man. Evil Morty's lair. The soldier Ricks come through and they're all like, "Hut, hut, 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 hut." It's very un-Rick of them. I don't get it, but maybe that's only because we're so used to dealing with C-137 Rick that we don't understand how hive mentality the other Ricks can be. That's my story and I'm sticking with it. So the soldier Ricks come through and start rounding up all the Mortys who are still stomping the shit out of Cyborg Rick. One of the pointiest hairdo-looking High Council Rick says that they'll... Morty's like, "What's going to happen to all the Mortys?" And he's like, "They'll go back to school, they'll play video games, date girls, the poor Rickless bastards." Dating girls and playing video games is so awful. God.
Those
poor bastards.
Sounds like they're going to have a very peaceful, normal life.
Yeah. The poor bastards.
Yeah.
Kind of, in a way. I can see that. Oh, well. Yeah.
So then cut to the Citadel. The council is formally apologizing to Rick C-137 for their false accusations. And in the way of reparations, they want to compensate him with a voucher for a free replacement Morty case. And then Rick is just like, "Guys, not a good time." And Morty's like, "What the fuck, bro?"
Rick at least has some tact about it and snatches it while Morty's not looking.
Some tact.
As they're walking away.
Of course. He's like, "Let's go, Morty." And then as Morty starts walking away, he like turns back around and takes the voucher before leaving. Bro. Very two-faced. Very two-faced
and
of you.
That's
Rick.
Something good to remember when we're talking about fan theories later. Because we know he has that voucher. We don't necessarily know if he ever uses it. Or if he's used one before. For all we know, this is his second Morty. We're quite sure this is at least his second Morty.
Yeah.
Were there more of them?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And as they're walking through the Citadel unattended by any other Ricks or Mortys, Morty tries to score some praise from Rick. Obviously a rare commodity around these parts. But then Rick slides in. "Hey, if you want connection, go join a club like all those dumb Ricks. Maybe I don't connect because I'm the Rickest Rick." And it would go without saying that the Rickest Rick would have the Mortiest Morty. But then he's like, "But don't get too cocky because that can lead to some real problems." Like what? I'll tell you when you're older.
Yeah. Foreshadow much?
Foreshadowing much indeed, actually. I was like, what the hell does that mean? I've never thought about that part before, but now I'm like, shit, what does he know? I thought maybe it was playing into the theory that Morty is actually just a young version of Rick and that he will become Rick and it's all a time loop somehow. But I have a better theory on that.
Yeah.
It goes back to his memories that we saw while he was strapped into the chair. Remember how there was a Morty being shocked and a Morty that was about to get eaten by a big toothy creature?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure his original Morty is either dead or something else that I'll cover in a few minutes.
Okay.
And so that would be one reason for him to say, I'll tell you when you're older, because he knows what happens to a cocky Morty. They die. Just gonna leave it there for now. And there's evidence of that in this episode. So we don't even have to reach out into future episodes to get that.
So cut to the Citadel Riggs dealing with the aftermath. They're kind of like doing CSI work on the dead cyborg Rick, taking pictures of the body and everything. And this is when they discover that Cyborg Rick was being controlled remotely, puppeteered by somebody else, because they open his head and has all these cables in them and the remote control thingy.
They find the receiver. He's
like, this is a receiver. Yeah, but where's the transmitter? And this is my favorite.
It's pretty amazing.
This is my favorite reveal. The song is like half of the thing. Like, I don't know if it would have hit equally, like the same if it was another song.
The music sells this scene so hard.
Yeah. And I think this song has come to be known as Evil Morty theme.
Because they reuse it. It comes back around. Every time we have an Evil Morty episode, they reuse it and it's perfect. Because we cut to Evil Morty amongst the droves of Rickless Mortys being loaded into cargo ships. And Evil Morty pulls off his eye patch, exposing electronics behind the eye patch and cords coming out of his eye socket. And he throws it on the ground and he stomps it into pieces. And he stuffs the wires back into his eye socket. And he turns around, disappearing into the crowd of Mortys as we hear the eeriest, blending darkest, bittersweet tune that has ever come out of this show.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And roll end
and
credits.
And then end credits. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
But then...
And I think this is... I was just going to say that I think this is like a fan favorite episode. I think this is a lot of people's like favorite episode, at least of season one.
Definitely. It's listed as top rated on IMDb. It's like a 93% rating, which is very high.
Yeah.
Even in comparison to all the other Rick and Morty episodes, but also just a very high rating in general on IMDb. Then the tag scene after the credits, we're in Rick's bedroom at first, and Rick gets home.
Wubba lubba dub dub!
Wubba dubba dub dub! And Jerry claims that he was just checking the smoke alarms, and Jerry's like, Rick is like, all right. Okay, get out. But Jerry was clearly just sitting there being a sad boy about losing his new boyfriend, Doofus Rick. And
I know. But also, is this the first time that we see Rick's room?
I think so. And not only the first, but also possibly the last.
The only time?
It's the only time I can think of that we ever see Rick's bedroom.
I know,
we almost never see it.
His bed is like shitty.
Yeah, I should have paused it and taken a better look. I didn't get too good of a look at it. I mean, we don't see it for very long either. So Jerry goes to the living room window and sees Doofus Rick across the street waving at him through the rain as some dramatic sad music plays and it's all sad. And Rick immediately sidles up next to him at the window and it's like, oh my God, are you friends with him? You know he eats shit, right? Oh, this is Rich. I've got like 10 Ricks to call right now. And poor Jerry.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. Poor Jerry.
Yeah. He just completely ruins his wholesome moment with his new boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are you going to do? So you look...
Wait.
I believe Bird Person can arrange that.
Go have some fun out there, Bird Person.
It's unwise of me to share these details, but I've become inebriated. They are designed to attract the attention of the female.
It's working.
In bird culture, this is considered a dick move.
Yeah. So you looked at Rick's room.
Okay. I looked a little bit at Rick's room, and I'm not sure about this, but is everything on his wall he's like tracking down of Prime Rick or Evil Rick?
Really?
Because there's like a lot of things that could be. And like there's like string connecting stuff, and there's like a portal gun.
He's got a conspiracy theory board.
Yeah, he's like a conspiracy theory board. And I'm wondering if it's about his, you know, his quest of like finding Evil Rick or Prime Rick, whatever you call him.
Uh-huh.
And okay. I think it might be.
I need to go back and look at that now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Obviously, we'll get more of that comes up in later seasons. But I think we've got a couple seasons before that really becomes relevant. I can't wait.
Yeah.
But I must.
Me neither.
But I must.
But we must.
So, you ready to talk fan theories?
Okay.
Or at least the one glaringly obvious fan theory that is most relevant to this episode anyway. Easily, the far and away leading fan theory about this episode is that Evil Morty is Rick C-137's original Morty.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So they specifically mention in this episode, tomorrow is your 1 year anniversary back in our lives. At the beginning of the episode, Beth said that. And also, it's a canonical fact that Rick has been gone from this dimension for 20 years. But then we see baby Morty in his memories. Just before we also see an electrocuted Morty and one that's very, very nearly being eaten by a large toothy monster. Just like in the opening sequence, the very last part of the opening sequence. Now, sidebar, opening sequence, that's the only scene of the opening sequence that we never see play out in the actual show, and it never gets cut from the opening sequence. Everything else changes every season.
That one stays the same throughout the seasons.
That one stays the same, yes. So, and it's Rick jumps into a portal, leaving Morty behind, nearly being eaten by a toothy monster, but we don't actually see it happen. So, it stands to reason that the reason Rick is crying here is because he thinks this Morty is dead, or this Morty is dead. And obviously we know that his current Morty, C-137 Morty, is at least his second Morty, because his excuse when he comes to this dimension is that he's coming back after 20 years, but he sees in his memories a young Morty. There's no way he could have seen a young Morty unless he was living in a different dimension where he did see Morty grow up. And very likely got that Morty killed, or thinks that Morty is dead. One of those two things is true.
Yeah.
And also, later in this episode when he says, "I'll tell you when you're older," he's very probably referring to the fact that he's seen at least one Morty die from being too self-assured. Which is why he's all disconnected from his feelings and extremely sparing with praise to Morty. So, back to the question.
Yeah, he doesn't want to bond.
He's
like he probably did with that other Morty
because
he blames
himself for Morty's death. Mm-hmm. And he thinks that it was his fault for showing him too much love, and that gave him too much confidence, which got him killed. Which I think there's a fallacy in that logic somewhere, but it really softens the blow to a lot of Rick's behavior. It doesn't make it okay, but it makes it understandable, you know? And but still, the question is Evil Morty our Rick's original Morty? Does Evil Morty know that this is Rick C-137? He must. He obviously does. Is Evil Morty trying to get back at Rick C-137 because he thinks he was abandoned by him, not knowing that Rick C-137 thought he was dead?
Yeah.
Or maybe Rick C-137 didn't think that he was dead and did actually abandon him, but feels really bad about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ways that could go down. Because obviously in this scenario, what if Evil Morty is his original Morty that survived this traumatizing experience after being abandoned by Rick? What if he somehow miraculously got away from that big toothy monster? Who knows? Maybe there were two different Mortys, and one of them got shocked to death and the other one was abandoned in the toothy monster dimension. So, yeah, a lot of more questions that come up from this theory, but I think it's one that still has not been publicly debunked by any creators, and I don't think anybody's gotten on the internet and like announced that they have evidence that it can't be true because this.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty solid.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another theory that Rick and Morty is actually just one big time loop, and therefore C-137 Morty is also Evil Morty, who's just gone through enough time loops to be jaded enough to want to get back at all the Ricks, specifically this one. But I didn't see any great evidence for it. Feels like a load of bullshit to me.
Yeah, that one doesn't seem as plausible.
No, there's really no good explanation for how he's doing the time loop or why. That I was reading even in the article that was pitching the theory. So I'm like, come on. But yeah, there's lots of articles out there about Evil Morty being Rick's first Morty. Check him out if you want to learn more. And also,
yeah, there's a lot.
My personal theory, I don't think Doofus Rick eats his own shit. I think they're all just assholes. Like,
Yeah, I also think that. I think they're just bullying Doofus Rick just to bully him.
Yeah.
Because he looks different and he's nice to Jerry. You know?
Right, exactly. And do we even know that there is, like, we know from the from Interdimensional Cable that there was a channel that was a movie or a TV show about a guy that was eating a big bowl of shit. But then somebody...
Oh, yeah.
But then a woman is like, here's a court order that says you can't eat shit anymore. Why would that happen in a timeline where everyone eats shit?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, and it's,
I mean,
it's not,
could be
not quite the
could
same.
Could be like a punishment for something, like,
oh,
you
punishment that he can't eat
cannot
shit.
Cannot eat shit anymore.
Genius.
Yeah. Could be.
So she can still eat shit.
Thank you.
But he can't eat shit anymore.
Yeah.
They're basic. It's a starvation sentence.
Yeah.
There it is. That poor bastard.
Damn.
He needs his shit. How else is he going to survive?
I don't know.
He's going to have to make himself into a human centipede.
No! I hate those movies.
I never actually saw them, but the concept alone makes me sick.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to see these movies.
Okay. Any other theories?
That's all I got. You got anything?
No, basically, I mean, I did read some stuff on Reddit, but it all was like, well, you just, the one that you just said, and different people thinking about it, and but basically that's like the strongest, most important one. And then, yeah, just my own observation of Rick's room, that the whole thing, everything that's on his wall, I think is like his own little map of whatever he's discovered about, or his quest to find Prime Rick. Why does he want to find Prime Rick?
I think part of that, I think him wanting to find Prime Rick is, hold on, I'm just pulling up a screenshot of Rick's bedroom here real quick. Prime Rick killed his wife, Beth's mother.
Right, that's why, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I see the red lines. And this is the shot where Jerry is sitting on the bed. Portal gun.
Yeah. There's like a portal gun. There's a ship. There's a Meeseeks behind the ship, but that's not connected to anything.
Aberdolf Linkler is back there. That's funny because we don't see him till next episode. They think ahead. They really think ahead sometimes.
Yeah. I love that. There's some planet. There's like some equations. There's not much like legible stuff, but just based on the like portal gun and the ship, those are like strong clues to me because when Evil Rick killed his wife, it was because he had come to like tell him about the portal gun, and Rick rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I don't want that. Like, I'm happy with my life. I don't know. My brain is connecting things. I just don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not super up to speed on any of those theories or even the actual plot. It's I'm super fuzzy on it. And honestly, I'm only picking up the plot really well as we go through these episodes because it's forcing me to comb through with a fine-tooth comb and really pick up on little details that I never caught before. And the same thing's happening to me with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, showing me just how much I don't actually pay attention to TV shows as I watch them. But it's amazing that I like it as much as I do, even without picking up on all of that stuff. And it's giving me all these Easter eggs to come back and find. So it's the gift that keeps on giving, really, I think.
It is.
Yeah.
It's super fun. That's why I think this is a show that it's fun to rewatch because you don't catch everything at just one watch or first watch. You can't.
And it's so nice to just, you can binge it as many times as you want. It's not going to detract from our level of surprise or in how enamored we are with it when we record it.
True.
Yeah. Which, unfortunately, with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I feel like it does kind of take a little bit away. Like, oh, I kind of saw that coming when we do the recording. And it helps a lot to be like, I had no idea that was going to happen. And it's all like a surprise to me all over again. Even though I've seen the show, it's just been like 20 fucking years, you know. But,
beautiful.
I think that's another episode of Wubble Up a Pod Pod.
We did it!
We did it! Us. Hey, it's like, and we're podcasters or something.
We are about to finish the season. So we both thought that it was the last episode of season one, but we were wrong. There's one more episode, and I think it's a fun one.
Definitely. Yeah, I guess so they didn't. They I'm just didn't count the pilot as an episode, apparently.
Yeah.
But I think it's the only season that has 11 episodes. The rest of them only have 10.
And season 7, is it out yet? I haven't even checked.
I don't know either.
But I know it was...
Wow, we're really good at this.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. Oh my God, we're super fans. Totally.
Super fans. Hey, we never claim to be super fans. We just claim to be super nerds or casual nerds that are trying to be better nerds about Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And so this is our journey. Join us on this journey.
Join us, please.
Mm-hmm.
And as you join us, don't forget to check out our socials. We are on Instagram, WubbaLubbaPodPod, Twitter or X, WubbaPodPod, I think.
Sounds about right.
What else?
TikTok,
WubbaLubbaPodPod. Yeah.
Twitch.
And very important, Twitch also. twitch.tv/wubbalubbapodpod. You can catch our live recordings there. Our raw recordings. No edits.
Oh, yeah. Also on YouTube. Don't forget to review us on iTunes.
Please do. And we do have a Patreon.
At patreon.com/wubbalubbapodpod. Yeah, we've got a $1 tier that makes you a Morty, gives you exclusive video of the podcast and a live stream reminder. $3 tier that makes you a Rick, gives you exclusive video, live stream reminder, and 50 what was the percentage we decided on?
10%
off merch. $5 Rick tier gives you exclusive video, a live stream reminder, and 15% off merch and exclusive downloadable content. Visit our website at wubbalubbapodpod or wubbalubbapod.com. You can find some merch. We've got mugs and stickers and hoodie and t-shirts over at www.beerwithbuffy.com/shop. That's our sister podcast. You can check them out too at www.beerwithbuffy.com or find us on Podbean. That's our main host, but we're also on whatever your flavor of podcast platform is. Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. If you have any questions or concerns, you can email us at wubbalubbapodpod@gmail.com. Big shout out, as always, to Benjamin Alexander for all of our opening, closing, and transitional music. This has been Wubble Up a Pod Pod. I'm Josh.
And I'm Alex.
Woo! Ah, jeez.
Ah, jeez. Josh has been implementing jeez on his normal vocabulary.
Yeah, I don't even say it ironically anymore. completely unironic, just worked into my everyday speech pattern now. Can't help it. Can't fix it. I'm just
That's
fucked.
That's the Wubba Lubba Putt Putt effect. Yeah. Right.
All I can do for the rest of my life for a living is this podcast. So donate.
You have a sacred birthright. You were chosen to destroy vampires, not to wave pom-poms at people.
Why can't you people just leave me alone?
Done. Why are we watching this?